In the middle of one of the biggest, longest, noisiest, dirtiest thoroughfares in the world lives the reincarnation of a drowned princess, or rather 200 reincarnations of a drowned princess. Whether these are 200 different reincarnations of the same drowned princess or the individual reincarnations of 200 different drowned princesses is something that the legends are a little vague about. If they are all the same drowned princess, then she must have led an exceedingly wicked life to have had the conditions of her current lives repeatedly inflicted on her. Her reincarnations are constantly being mangled in ship's propellers, snared in fishermen's nets full of hooks, blinded, poisoned, and deafened. The thoroughfare in question is the Yangtze River, and the reincarnated princess is the Baiji, the Yangtze River dolphin. A well-known and wise proverb says that a journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. A less well-known but even wiser Chinese proverb says that in a journey of 100 miles, the 99th mile should be considered the halfway point. This is the account of Mark Kawardine and Douglas Adams' attempts to get to see the Yangtze River dolphin. And indeed their attempts to get to see the Yangtze River, and their attempts even to get out of Shanghai. In fact, their attempts to get anything to happen at all without becoming homicidally insane once they arrived in China.
We're now turning off the main road into the sort of grim bits of town where the hotel that Marcus found us is obviously located.
Oh dear. Is this the hotel?
Oh, yeah. This looks okay.
That's okay, fine. Satisfied?
Yeah, this'll do. Okay, here we are. Right, let's get ourselves unpacked.
So how did you sleep?
Not very well. I woke up at 2 o'clock in the morning, then didn't manage to get to sleep for about 3 hours. Still sort of half asleep.
Right, the two key places along the river that we need to visit are Nanjing here,
yep,
and Wuhan, 1,000 kilometres from Shanghai, I suppose.
Yep.
Nanjing and Wuhan are the two centres of research. The other thing is that our chances of actually seeing the dolphins aren't that high. Because if you look at the length of the river, that stretch they occur in is about 1,500 kilometres. So that's, what, one dolphin every 4 kilometres, something like that.
Yeah.
It'd also
actually
be nice.
There's one other thing I wanted to ask you about. something I think you said on the plane yesterday that kind of caught me by surprise, and I just want to check I wasn't dreaming.
Mm.
Which is that we've flown thousands and thousands of miles to see these people who are researching the dolphins. Now, are they expecting us?
No.
The Yangtze River dolphin is almost blind. The reason for this is that there's nothing to see in the Yangtze. So the dolphins rely on sound for their picture of the world. Unfortunately, the Yangtze is a fantastically noisy river with hundreds of diesel engine junks throbbing up and down it the whole time. Mark and Douglas decided to try and record what it actually sounds like in the Yangtze. However, they had neglected to bring an underwater microphone with them. Then their sound engineer said that there was a standard BBC technique for waterproofing a microphone in an emergency. All it required was one simple, well, household item. You would expect these items to be in plentiful supply in China, but they had a certain amount of difficulty in tracking them down.
Do you have any condoms?
The guy in the other shop called them rubber overs.
Rubber over. Rubber over. Contraceptive.
Contraceptive. We're listening to dolphins with. Do you speak English?
Yes.
Oh.
I want to know if they have any condoms. Condom.
Yeah.
Contraceptive.
Contraceptive.
Contraceptive sheath. A rubber.
I think it may be picture time again.
Picture time? not over the head.
It's for birth control, contraceptive.
Birth control.
Condom.
Somebody seems finally to have got the message.
Well, about 15 people seem finally to have got the message.
It's causing a lot of excitement in the shop. Ah, that's it.
3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
How many dolphins do you think we're going to record?
I think 9 should cover us, to coin a phrase.
Okay, right. Do you know that we should take 2 packets just to be on the safe side?
So it'll save a lot of hassle. We'll
take 2 packets.
Oh, now they're looking at us impressed. Booking a train journey in China can be a really time-consuming process, and you need to plan quite a number of days in advance. You have to actually go and order the ticket 5 days before you plan to leave, then go and reconfirm 3 days before, pay for it 2 days before, and actually collect the ticket the day before you leave. Well, we've managed to speed up the process a little and managed to get a ticket to leave tomorrow. So we've actually got a day in hand to kill in Shanghai. And so to keep ourselves busy, we're now sitting in the local barber shop having a Shanghai massage, which is why I'm sounding a bit strange. It's actually very painful. At the moment, I'm having my back thumped by the barber. Both Douglas and I have just had our fingers pulled out of their joints. We've had thumbs rammed on either side of the spine. And crikey. I think after this we're going to need at least another day to recover before we can face a 5-hour train journey to Nanjing.
Ah! Oh! I can't speak! I can't speak!
We're seeing our first glimpse now of some kind of rural China. The land is very flat around here, and we're just passing a lot of rice paddies. The light's a bit dim now, it's the late afternoon. We can just see acres and acres of rice paddies in either direction. Orangey, yellow, flat rice paddies. The odd sort of fire burning, a bit of smoke drifting across.
It's not rice.
It occurs to me that we ought to try and familiarise ourselves with what the word Nanjing looks like in Chinese. Because there's going to be a point where we're suddenly going to roll into Nanjing and none of us are going to be any the wiser.
That's brilliant. Brilliant thinking. Have you got your guidebook?
Nanjing, yes. It's a squiggle and another squiggle. The first squiggle looks like a house with a person inside with a cross on top. And the second one looks like
a Chinaman with 3 legs.
In the middle of the stretch of the Yangtze, which the dolphins inhabit, is the town of Tongling. And to get there from Nanjing, it is necessary to take at last to the great central thoroughfare of China, the Yangtze itself. Travel in China is fraught with difficulties, and by the time Mark and Douglas boarded the steamer ferry that would take them upriver overnight, their tempers were severely frayed by frustration, sleeplessness, and continual exposure to the piano stylings of Richard Clayderman.
I have just had the very worst night's sleep of my entire life. We are on a large passenger ferry boat, like a sort of huge lemon gatto floating up the Yangtze. It was built in about the 30s, and the whole night long, they play you music. And just in the pauses of the music, the ship's hooter goes off at an insanely loud level.
The Muzak is very often Richard Clayderman. Now, I've got nothing against Richard Clayderman. He may be very nice and always remembers Mother's Day, but no one ever, under pain of death, should let him near a bloody piano and play it to me in the middle of the night floating up the Yangtze.
I've come up onto the deck to escape the Muzak, and it's really beginning to dawn on me why so many people we've met along the way have told us our chances of seeing the dolphins are virtually nil, because there are fewer than 200 of them along this enormous river several thousand miles long. And just here it must be, what, at least a mile wide. So our chances of actually looking at a patch of water as a dolphin breaks the surface really aren't very good.
Breakfast this morning was their Western breakfast, so-called because it had a cold fried egg on it. Also, the one or two sort of vague sponge cake things, a couple of nameless bits of meat, gungy bitey bits, and three sugar lumps. I'm rather lost for words at the idea of what you're actually meant to do with three sugar lumps on top of a fried egg. I also want to mention the ship's lavatories. This will be some kind of first on radio. We are now standing in the ship's lavatory of the Yangtze ferry. I'm not going to describe it, I'm merely going to let you listen to it, and everything else will be left to your imagination. This is what it sounds like. The water that actually pours through the lavatories is probably Yangtze River water that's being sort of scooped up at the beginning of the boat, channeled back through the boat, through all the lavatories, and out at the other end. This may in turn have something to do with the colour of the modern Yangtze, which is very chocolate, caramelly, thick brown. How the dolphins turned it, God alone knows.
The Yangtze's so muddy and turbid that underwater it's impossible to see more than a couple of inches in front of your nose. And in fact, the dolphins have, over a period of time, almost lost the use of their eyes altogether. And so what they do to find their way around is to build up a sound picture of everything around them. It's a form of echolocation, something like bats, but it's so accurate that they can detect a piece of wire no more than a millimetre in diameter. Or at least they could, because nowadays there's so much boat traffic on the Yangtze, boats of all shapes and sizes, that the acoustic interference underwater really does mess things up. Well, we've been hanging onto these condoms for nearly a week now, and the producers finally persuaded us to hand them over. So we're now going to demonstrate the official BBC technique for recording underwater. We've put the microphone inside two condoms, no expense spared, and we're dropping it over the side of the ship. We can't hear the dolphins, of course, but what we can hear is the terrible din of all these ships' engines and propellers. It's a bit like an underwater M1 with all the traffic bumper to bumper in both directions.
I must say, it's only been an up-and-down experience, China, hasn't it? Because we sort of oscillate between moods. I've really been quite elated with things going very well and deep depression as we try to communicate. Can't get any sense out of anybody, can't phone anybody, can't get our tickets sorted out, and the food's terrible, and there's nothing to do after about 7 o'clock at night. Now that it's 8:45 in the morning, it's all quiet and down. They've even turned the Muzak off, because I suppose they think people don't like to listen to Muzak while they're awake.
Yes, probably, that's what it is. I'm going back to bed. We've just been on a short ferry trip from the mainland of a couple of minutes in the company of about a dozen peasant farmers to one of two islands sitting in the middle of the Yangtze River,
about 7 or 8 kilometres upstream from Tongling. The two islands are basically triangular in shape. We're now standing at the base of one of them and looking across a small channel to the base of the other. And this channel is about 1,500 metres long, and it varies between about 40 metres and 220 metres wide. And it's the channel here that is going to be the Dolphins Nature Reserve. Now, it's about 5 metres deep, and it has to be actively managed to maintain a suitable habitat for the dolphins. But what's going to happen is that the Chinese scientists working on the dolphins will capture a small family group of 6 or 7 of the animals, and we'll put them into this semi-nature reserve, as they call it, fence off both ends of the channel from the main river so that water can still come in, but the dolphins can't leave. But before then, they're going to capture some finless porpoises, which aren't as rare as the dolphins, and effectively learn as much about them as they can, how they fare in this channel. And they're going to study them and see if they can breed in semi-captivity, as this is, with the long-term hope of setting up more of these reserves where they can be protected around the clock.
This water looks much clearer immediately, doesn't it?
So you believe there's genuinely no self-interest in the villagers' support of the project?
Yeah, the peasants here are quite highly conscious of the importance of this animal. Anybody who found or who captures the dolphin will send it back to the river or report to some authorities concerned.
It's a great idea. I can't think of any other examples where the animals are in a wild state but in a sort of limited area.
Yeah, constrained rather than trapped or imprisoned.
The project is still only half completed and no dolphins have yet been brought into it. To help raise public awareness of the Baiji and also to raise money to complete the project, the name Baiji has been licensed commercially, which is why you find the Baiji Hotel, Baiji Shoes, Baiji Beer, Baiji Computerized Weighing Scales, and Baiji Bentonite, which is a mining product used for the production of toothpaste, and also as an additive for pig food. However odd this may seem to us as a public relations scheme, it's certainly effective, and the facilities it's helping to pay for are very impressive.
It's a superb tank.
Yeah.
This is for breeding the dolphins before releasing them into the reserve, or for injured dolphins.
This is... 送到那个养殖场，那个半天然养殖场之前的那个。哎，对对对对。This is a before sending to the semi-nature reserve. The dolphin is bred here.
It's an enormous tank. It's about 35 meters across and probably 4 or 5 meters deep, with a number of portholes in the side so they can be observed underwater.
It's a kind of triangular shape, and that each point of the triangle is circled out. Then the base of the tank is 3 undulating wells. And it really is the most spacious dolphin tank I've seen anywhere, I think. There's a sort of small channel that connects it through to the medical care tank, which is just behind it, which is a smaller tank, probably about, what, half the size, a third of the size. That's the sort of dolphin sick bay.
So it's a combination of training for feeding in the artificial environment of the reserve, checking they're healthy before being released into the reserve, and basic scientific observation to learn about the dolphins in as many different ways as possible.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's right.
But you still need more money.
Sure.
That's a fantastic setup. And all within sight and sound of the little bit of river.
We're in a little side tributary of the Yangtze where the boat is moored, and any moment now we will be setting off into the main stream of the Yangtze, and we will be going to an area where they think we might be likely to see dolphins, and we just hang around watching, get out our binoculars, get out our cameras, get out our beers, and just see if we're going to be lucky or not.
How superstitious are you?
Not very. Why?
Do you realise, after all this travelling, this is day 13 that we're looking for the dolphins? Did you hear them say yesterday that they've seen dolphins in the area just recently? So we might be lucky. They tend to congregate in very small groups where they're a good feeding ground. So if it's a very big shoal of fish or it's a very good feeding ground, then hopefully they'll be there for several days.
Hmm. Well, let's see.
We've just passed on one of the banks some fish traps, which are blue netting attached to four poles dropped into the water, which apparently are now illegal because of the dolphins. The dolphins have been protected by law since 1975, and it's obviously a very difficult law to enforce, and already we've seen an example of fishermen ignoring it. Here's another trap we're just passing now on the starboard side. So even though the goodwill of the local people is there, there are always going to be some people who are going to break the law because they desperately need the money from the fish. We're just approaching the area we're going to stop and sit to watch the dolphins. Apparently they do occur in this part of the river quite often. Unfortunately, it's quite a broken surface, which makes it very difficult to see them because they don't actually leap out of the water like marine dolphins. We're looking for the little silhouette of their backs, and if there are lots of waves and so on, it makes it even harder to spot them than it would be normally.
Idea of staring at this water for hours on end is a rather depressing thought. It's such grim looking water.
It's a bit like looking for the Loch Ness Monster. You start to imagine things after a while. Over on the far side over here, something just came out of the water. We're coming more or less parallel with where it was. There. Did you see it?
No.
It was very dark.
Oh, how frustrating.
Just past the fishing net. There's a definite back of an animal. Don't know which. Go back to having a closer look. Oh, look there. It's a finless porpoise. You see, there was no fin on the back.
Yeah. There again.
Oh, wow.
So we didn't see the dolphin.
Yeah, what a shame. It's partly because we spent 12 days getting here and one day on the river.
Yeah.
Doesn't give us a very good chance.
Yeah, well, that I think is the practical reality of travelling in China.
Yeah, I think so. It would also be nice to see this one dolphin, the only Yangtze River dolphin in captivity in Wuhan. Oh, that would guarantee to see it. It would be nice to see one in the flesh, as it were. But it's a nice extra to see the porpoises there.
Yeah, well, I think that's worth half a dolphin. We've had to cheat, I'm afraid, having spent a day unsuccessfully out on the Yangtze trying to spot them in the wild. We've actually had to come to Wuhan to find the one that's in captivity.
This is just the one in the world in captivity, this species.
I believe this one's a male,
yes,
dolphin.
Male dolphin.
Where did he come from and how did you come to get him?
In 1980, a fisherman caught it in a nearby Dongding Lake. This dolphin go to the shallow water to catch fish, maybe. The fisherman cut off the way and caught the dolphin by the big hook. You can see two big marks on the net, you see?
Let's see, it's just coming up to the surface. Yeah, oh, yes. Two quite big scars.
By the big hook, you see?
Surprising he survived at all.
We treat the dolphin by Chinese medicine. We call it Yunnan white powder.
And you put that on the wound?
A lot of things.
Uh-huh. But it obviously works very well because he's looking very healthy
now. Yes, now he's very happy.
It's in a large oval concrete tank. And the sound you just heard was the sound of the dolphin coming up and breeding. It's how long is it, would you say?
Well, it's fully grown. It's apparently about 10 years old, so it's 8 feet long.
Am I right in thinking that its snout is much narrower than a marine dolphin,
yes,
than a bottlenose dolphin?
Yeah, in all the five river dolphin species, it's a narrower snout. The fin on its back hasn't developed so large, so it looks like a very small triangle instead of a definite sort of typical dolphin fin. Also, the flippers still show the sort of bones of fingers. If you
look at it,
if you look at it when it turns on its side, next time it comes up above the surface, you can actually see that it's been developed from a hand, you know, much like one of our hands with elongated fingers. It uses its flippers to steer in the water. And if you notice, you don't really see its tail too much because its tail doesn't come above the surface of the water.
It does, but a couple of times. If you notice, a couple of occasions, it's come past us and turned on its back.
Yeah,
and then it's just suddenly sort of flipped its tail up and flipped its way around and sort of gone off. I don't know if that's it just sort of saying, hello, you from the BBC, have you got your travel permits?
I think it probably is, actually. It's obviously taking an interest in us because it keeps rising up. Here we are, down right by us.
There's a large rubber ring lying in this tank, and every now and then the dolphin goes and plays with it a bit.
But just that's interesting. If you had a shark in here or another fish, there's no way it would start playing with a rubber ring. And right from there, you can see that there's much more to dolphins than there are, even to river dolphins, which aren't the most intelligent of the family, than there are to fish.
Oh, here he comes. There he is. He turned upside down and flipped his tail.
See the way the beak is sort of upturned, so it looks as though it's constantly smiling.
Yeah.
Definitely doing a little act for us in front, I think.
Yeah.
A little performance.
The dolphin, they have a lot of deep feeling with each other. For example, last year we caught two dolphins, the male dolphin with the small female dolphin.
Yeah.
They always swimming together, and the big dolphin always protected the small dolphin.
It's a beautiful creature. Look at it.
There it is.
I think of all the animals you ever see, it's the one I sort of envy most, the one I'd most like to change places with.
But however romantic the Baiji dolphin may appear to be, it's not an animal that anyone other than a masochistic and unbalanced science fiction novelist would want to change places with. The river in which the princess drowned is now a dirty, dangerous highway. The dolphin's eyes have atrophied, and the permanent smile it wears is simply an accident of bone structure. The worldwide fund for nature's symbol of an endangered animal is the Chinese panda, and yet the Chinese baiji is rarer and yet more threatened. There are 200 left. And counting.